Hello, welcome to A More Perfect Union. My name is Simon Schumacher, and I am so excited to have you with me. Now, I want to take a few moments to speak about what I hope this show can be. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that this show is politics, 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 but I don't intend for this to be a medium for debate, but a chance to have conversations, a chance to listen, to learn, and to question, and to investigate the politics of others and ourselves. What I hope to have happen over the next X number of months is to bring on people who are hopefully much more versed in politics than I am, and give them a chance to speak about why they believe what they believe, and what they think their values, their worldview is, the lens that they think one should look at politics through, and potentially their thoughts on their own place in the American political discourse, and the place of others. Now, I would not be the first to suggest that our politics has become insular, that we surround ourselves in our political lives with people who already agree with us, who share our values, share our worldview, share our politics. Now, that's only natural. I'm certainly not above that, but I think we can quickly fall into an extreme. Now, I'm no political science major, but what I've noticed is that we fall into the trap of moralizing and motivation politics, the idea that we engage someone not on the merits of their ideas, but we come up with reasons why they believe what they believe. Say, a socialist believes in the workers owning the means of production because they're lazy, or a movement conservative believing in low taxes because they anticipate that someday they'll be rich. Now, I don't mean to suggest the legitimacy of either of those two claims, but I would, however, suggest that regardless of however true or not they are, we have to acknowledge that it makes discourse much more difficult if people are having to defend why they believe what they believe instead of what they believe. And we also have to ask ourselves, as we're coming up with these theories as to why our political adversaries are disingenuous, we have to ask ourselves, are these theories true? Or could they be true? And as the ones who create and legitimize them, are we also the ones who stand to benefit from them? We have to ask ourselves these questions because the reality is likely that at the time that we're making these theories, we are conflicted and irritated and genuinely unable to otherwise understand why someone could believe what they believe. And it takes theories like this to explain what to us is unexplainable. I hope this show can grant us a little more understanding, a little more compassion, a little more empathy for those we otherwise vehemently disagree with. Now, I want to move on and speak about why this potential understanding can be of such value to you and to me. Now, I think the value can be broken into two parts, and the first is entirely selfish. When one is speaking to issues of public and political importance, rhetoric changes based on who you're speaking to. If you're speaking to people who you agree with, you have to speak to their values, to their understanding, what riles them up and what gets them scared and frustrated. And when you're speaking to people who disagree with you, you have to operate in the same way, but to their values. You work with their worldview, what constraints and possibilities they see, what scares them. And when one goes to engage with people who specifically they disagree with, and they hope to convince them, they're not going to get very far if they don't understand these individuals' points, their values, what underpins their politics. For movement conservatives, their values might be a pick yourself up by the bootstraps mentality, that you get what you deserve, that any attempt to differentiate from, say, market outcomes is inherently unjust. Now, conversely, say you're talking to a socialist or a leftist, and you're trying to speak to their values, to their worldview, they might be less concerned about market outcomes and, quite frankly, potentially opposed to them completely, and more concerned with exploitation, that if a person's labor is being orchestrated and some third party not participating in that creation benefits, then that is inherently exploitation and is unjust. Politics fundamentally is about how we believe the world works, the constraints and possibilities and the rest that goes into that, the lens with which we view politics and the world. Do we trust the government? Do we trust businesses? Do we trust their relationship? Are we suspicious of electoral politics and the role of money in politics? Do we believe left to their own devices, people will do better than if they're given government handouts? Conversely, do markets lead to exploitation? Do markets lead to failures? Do those failures need to be fixed? Those are questions and answers that informed politics for a very long time. And they're rooted in any number of things. But fundamentally, if you or I want to convince somebody of something, or maybe just move the needle a little bit, we have to speak to them in their house, on their battlefield, on their turf, regardless of what analogy you prefer. And so long as politics remains insular, we are not going to be changing very many minds. And that leads me into my second point, why you should tune in, why I should bother to make this podcast, and that's found in the name itself, A More Perfect Union. That is, of course, a reference to the first lines of the preamble of the United States Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Now, there are two important parts to that sentence. We, the people, and a more perfect union. No people are capable of forging a perfect union. Our founders, as flawed as they were, recognized that a government for the people and by the people would necessitate collective participation and a view that there is no such thing as perfect governance. There is just better governance and worse governance. That the United States is a work in progress, and that anyone attempting to sell you on a perfect system is wrong. This more perfect union, despite what anyone wants to tell you, is the aggregate vision of the living souls in this country that go to the voting booth and participate in our democracy. Now, don't get me wrong, there are flaws in this democracy. Does money have an outsized role? Absolutely. Do smaller states have more voting influence than people from larger states? Sure. Do voters see themselves disenfranchised to some extent every 2 to 4 years? Unfortunately, true. We can't claim to be an absolute democracy, but potentially no country could. But in spite of our flaws, we have forged forward. We have made the United States a better place than it was yesterday. And tomorrow it's going to be a better place than it was today. I know it's hard to believe, but if you look up the term Americanism, it is two aspects. It has American culture and American values. And whilst I would not hold up American culture, I would, however, hold up our political values. Political values that have been disseminated across the world. The values of the rule of law, of equal rights before said law, of participation in government, and of progress. Because believe it or not, in spite of what the history books do suggest, despite what it might feel sometimes, America is rooted in the values of all people being created equal. And we are not done ensuring that all people are included in that statement. We are not done ensuring that all people are equal before the law. And we're not done realizing the processes that are going to better pursue progress. But for something to be a value necessitates not perfection, but the pursuit. And I don't know about anybody else, but my commitment to those values and my commitment to progress supersedes my perceptions of what that progress should look like. I don't know about you, but I know that every so often I need to be reminded that my partisan leanings, the fact that I'm a Democrat and a liberal, comes after the fact that I'm a proponent of democracy and I believe in progress. And the only tool that can attain it, democracy. Thank you so much for going on this small journey with me. My name is Simon Schumacher, and this has been A More Perfect Union. I hope you tune in next time.